This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Brady Carlson. Like many authors these days, Ryan North set out to raise money for his new book on Kickstarter. Unlike most authors, he reached his goal of $20,000 in just 4 hours. At the end of 30 days, he raised almost $600,000, the highest amount ever for a publishing campaign on Kickstarter. His book is an interactive interpretation of Hamlet. Readers can choose to be Hamlet, Ophelia, or even the ghost of the dead king. Over 60 artists have signed on to illustrate the book, which North will have published in full color and printed on glossy paper. Ryan North is also the creator of Dinosaur Comics, a daily webcomic, and the co-editor of a collection of stories titled Machine of Death, which made it to the number one spot on Amazon's bestseller list. He joins us now via Skype. Ryan, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So why an interactive version of Hamlet? I mean, you could have had him fight zombies or witches or, you know, basically every movie in the whole world is doing that kind of thing right now. And you might have made some real money doing that.
Yeah, I kind of messed up here, huh? Actually, the title came to me first, the To Be or Not to Be. I was thinking, wow, that's kind of structured like a choice, like in those old Choose Your Adventure books. And then my next thought was, oh, my gosh, I have to write this.
And off you went. And one of the selling points that you mentioned on Kickstarter was that in the original Hamlet, Shakespeare mentions how the title character is saved by these pirates, but you don't ever really see the pirates. So how much was then, as you were thinking it through, going, I could write the pirate scene and let people actually read what happened?
Yeah, I actually forgot about the pirate scene until I was reading the book over again to write mine. I thought, this whole pirate scene... And it makes sense that you wouldn't really show it on the stage because it's a really complicated thing to mount. But in mine, you've got this like climactic pirate scene. There's a storm. You're cutting off the pirate's limbs to survive. It's really sort of fun, dramatic.
Do you get to choose which limb?
Oh, absolutely. That's critical.
Now, I mentioned that readers can choose the main character, including Hamlet, the title character that Shakespeare uses, but also Ophelia. And in the original play, Ophelia doesn't exactly get the best treatment. The words you could use to describe her character are, you know, at best frail and innocent, at worst maybe crazy or a little emo. How are you looking to approach Ophelia?
I studied Hamlet in high school, and I remembered Ophelia being this really cool character. Like, she's really awesome. And then when I went back and reread the book, that's not there in the text. I don't know what Hamlet I was reading, but she's not as awesome as she could be. And so in my book, she's this super competent, super smart character who, if you choose to kill evil King Claudius, she can get that done really quickly and really efficiently. And so it's sort of nice to have this story where you have a character who knows what she wants and knows how to get it and can accomplish goals nice and quickly.
Does the tone of the book change much depending on which lead character you choose? I mean, I would feel like choosing the dead king, the ghost, would make a little more of a detective story. He's trying to figure out what happened to him, but Hamlet the son would be more like an adventure tale.
Yeah, the ghost path, you have to investigate your own murder, if it even was a murder, because you slept through it, you don't know. the tone changes depending on what path you follow, and there's little Yorick skulls marking the choices Shakespeare made going through the book. So you can read the actual plot of Hamlet if you want, and if you follow that path, the tone is, you know, pretty similar to the play. But Ophelia has the option to say, man, Denmark's nuts, I'm going on vacation. And then, obviously, the tone of the story changes at that point.
Now, you mentioned the old Choose Your Own Adventure books, and I read those growing up, and sometimes they were really fun, and it was exciting to be able to turn to one page for one choice and another page for another, but oftentimes you'd turn a page, and all of a sudden your character was dead or fell off a cliff, or you don't know what happened, but it said the end anyway. How did you avoid that kind of arbitrary or just very sudden ending as you were writing this book?
Yeah, that's what always bothered me too, this like sudden capricious death where you can choose to sit in a chair and you die, and if you stand in the chair, you survive. And I get from an authorial point of view why they do that, because this decision tree is constantly expanding and you need to prune it in such a way that you don't end up writing, you know, 90,000 words, which is what I did. But I wanted the choices you make in the book to be consistent and to have weight. So if you do something, you have results from that action that seem reasonable and aren't entirely out of scope of what the action actually was. Because that way it doesn't feel like you're sort of bouncing around in this pinball machine where things happen kind of irrelevantly to what you choose, but rather your choices actually impact, you know, who lives and who dies and where the pirate gets stabbed.
And between that and then choosing which characters to follow, you get a much broader idea of what the universe of the story is about.
Sure. Sure. It was actually a lot of fun to write in that because I'd be reading through the book and I think, oh, what if we zigged here instead of zagging? What happens? What could we show? What sort of neat things could be explored? It was a lot of fun to write. I recommend everyone write a book like this.
As I mentioned, this was a record for publishing on Kickstarter. And the original idea of Kickstarter was sort of fund this idea that I have that I can't do without you. You said that the book was actually written before you launched the Kickstarter and that you hit the official Kickstarter goal in just a matter of hours. It's a slightly different function for a crowdsourcing platform. What made more sense about it, kickstarting at that stage rather than, say, before you had started writing the book?
Right. Well, I mean, starting asking for money initially seemed kind of weird because I can write for myself for free, so it doesn't really... It would be weird to ask for money up front. But what I wanted to do was have the endings illustrated by, I know all these really cool artists, and I'd love to have the book have these neat pictures in it. But I also wanted them to be paid, you know, a fair rate. And so I'd reached the limit of what I could personally afford for these artists. So I said, okay, if we reach 20K, we'll get 30 endings illustrated, and that'll be that. And then as we got more and more money, more and more endings get illustrated, the book itself got to be published in color, and all these nice things are getting on top of that. And so really, the Kickstarter crowdsourcing model or crowdfunding model becomes almost a way to make what you're doing better as you go, depending on the feedback you get. And so since it was this insane interest in the book itself is going to be entirely insane and really nice, which it wouldn't have been otherwise, because I can't imagine convincing a publisher to put all this effort into a book without having a market already, you know, ready to go for it.
Ryan North is the author of To Be or Not to Be, That is the Adventure, and the brains behind Dinosaur Comics. You can find links to those projects and much more, including his head exploding, sort of, at wordofmouthradio.org. Ryan, thanks so much.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.